Welcome to the One Speed MMA podcast with yours truly, Justin Flying Smitty Smith, and as always,
Carson Wood.
Thank you for tuning in. We'll actually get it done Sunday night tonight.
It seems like we haven't done this in a while, and I think it's just because it was at my house last time.
And it might have been on a Monday as well. Might have made it seem a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. But congratulations to you, though.
I got a puppy.
He's adorable.
A week earlier than expected, because apparently they went and picked up all of his brothers and sisters.
Named after Tank Abbott.
Named after Tank Abbott, because he was the tank in his family.
So his name's Abbott. And he's cute.
Well, let me explain why his name is Abbott, first and foremost. I knew that my wife would never go for me naming our dog after a UFC fighter, ever. And so I decided that there would have to be a way that I could trick her into naming our dog after a UFC fighter. So I was like, hey, you know what name is really, really cute? Abbott. And she was like, it is. And I was like, you want to know why that makes sense? And she was like, why? And I was like, because the current owners call him Tank. And Tank Abbott is an old UFC fighter. And she was like, I don't want to name him Tank Abbott. And I was like, but you really like the name. And she was like, yeah, I do. And so we got to keep it.
Manipulation.
I manipulated it. You know, that's one of those things about marriage. You get really good at being like, this is what I really want. How exactly do I get that? She does the same thing. So, I mean, it works perfectly.
It's just who's ever on that day, who's ever on the ball.
I mean, we have a dog, don't we? Mm-hmm. And that's definitely not my choice.
Nope. But you were way excited going, like,
yeah.
Once you guys decided to get one.
He's a beautiful black lab. I'm sure that when he calms down and won't chew all the cords, we'll probably bring him in. And
he licked my face a lot.
And introduce him to you guys on the cast.
He's cute.
Yeah.
I've been introduced to Rod, not visually, but.
Yeah, it smells.
Sounds.
Oh, they have been.
They've been introduced.
Oh, I thought you meant my dog. I was like, how is my dog?
No, I was saying they have been.
Yeah,
That
makes more sense.
You'll get to visually see the beautiful Tank Abbott. I'll wrestle him and declare myself the heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to hear something exciting?
I do.
So not next week, but the week after that, Todd will most likely be on the podcast because he's coming in and him and his family are staying with us.
I don't believe that. I believe he's coming into town. I believe he's going to be on the cast.
He's never been on a podcast. He said he would be on. He said he'd be our first call-in so we could get it all figured out.
He also said he was going to be on mine. Other one.
Oh, and he never did?
Nope.
What a sack. Sorry, sack Todd. I hope you hear this and hear us
and how slander
your name.
I am in you.
And good luck trying to sue us because we have Sean.
He can't protect us from if we are guilty. Can he?
Yeah, we just take a plea bargain for less and we don't have to pay anything.
Nice. Let's do that.
Come on now. You want to get into it?
I do want to get into it.
Do you want to get into the card first, or do you want to get into something random first?
Let's go card first.
Card first. UFC 198, which just went down in Curitiba, Brazil. You want to know the one thing that stood out? And obviously the amount of people in this stadium would probably be a huge factor that played into this, but it seemed really loud.
Yeah, and usually you lose it with those big arenas when it's not packed in, but nope, they definitely made sure to make it super loud. They also made sure to punch Matt Brown in the face.
Oh, yeah, so you watched the video of him trying to walk out and him actually turning around and striking back at the guy that touched him. Well, the guy, like, grabbed the back of his head and, like, pulled him. And apparently they kicked him out. I watched the post-fight, but one of the... I don't know who the American dude was asking these questions. So that obviously is completely not okay. Are you guys going to do something so it doesn't happen again? No, they're not going to do anything. They're just going to allow the kind of stuff to happen every single time. Like, come on now. But he then was punched later on in his hotel room. Did you hear that? Not in his hotel room, but in the hotel lobby.
No, I did not hear
that. Oh, my goodness. So Brian Stan apparently was live tweeting this instead of doing anything. He's like, some guy just ran in, punched Matt Brown and tried to run, and his training partner went and caught him. And he's like, that's weird. And he's like, oh, yeah, follow up real quick. Apparently, it used to be a guy that knows Matt Brown that they used to train together or something else. So they actually knew each other.
That makes it more weird.
So it's funny. Yeah, no, yeah. And I can agree with that. Like, he seems...
I understand
that he seems like a jerk, but he also seems like a stand-up guy.
Matt Brown?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like a jerk.
He seems like he tells it how it is.
Yeah, he just he seems like he doesn't like media interviews. He understands that he has to do it, but
Anyway,
I was just gonna say if you do want to like start a fight with somebody, I mean, Matt Brown is the guy that is not gonna back down.
Oh no!
But even in Brazil, where it's like super dangerous, when they like they always said like, chill. Are you nervous to go down to Brazil?
So why do you think if they you got more handsy? Sorry.
I was just going to say, if you wanted to fight at somebody and wanted them to react, Matt Brown will be that guy. He will punch anybody.
I can agree with that. But I wonder why with Chael Sonnen they didn't get his handsy. I think there was a story, though. No, that was in a
club. He never went back and
fought.
Where
Chael got punched in the back of the head.
He never went back and fought.
I guess that's true, huh?
After the
first one? Mm. But he was pretty mouthy the first one.
Did he? They didn't actually fight out there.
They fought twice. I thought they fought in Brazil.
We're about to find out, but I'm pretty sure he actually never. They never went to Brazil with him, and he because he was getting like death threats and stuff.
Jets to Brazil.
I don't know the reference, but yes,
and Jets to Brazil. Jets to Brazil is a band.
So is Brazil.
Yes, it is. What I was going to say was Chael Sonnen never. They never got Chael Sonnen. Apparently, they were chanting something at Matt Brown, and that's why he actually flipped off the crowd. But I'm not 100% sure of that, just like your Crow Cop issue, or like, not Crow Cop, wow, Stipe. Your Stipe Miocic, whether he called out Kane or not. I don't, the reason I don't know if that's accurate, and it definitely could be, one, I didn't see it or wasn't listening because I have my new pup, but secondly was all signs point to Reem getting the next fight, which we'll get into a little bit later.
That's fine. What I saw, he was yelling, "Give me Kane," or "I want Kane." When he jumped over the cage and they were holding him back, so it looks like he wants Kane. And no, Chael never fought in Brazil ever.
Oh well, I can kind of understand why he might not.
The only other places he fought is in Costa Rica and Osaka, Japan.
You want to know the other thing that makes me sad? Watching Jose Aldo look as happy as a clam around other Brazilians that are asking him questions, and he just looks like he's super happy about everything, and it reminds me of how nice of a guy he seemed to be for a long period of time, and then the whole Conor situation started to come up, and now everyone's like, Jose Aldo, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I think we forgot that he was just like a pretty genuine guy until all of that happened.
No, yeah, I don't believe in getting in professional athletes' heads, which I'm obviously wrong. I didn't really believe in it, but 100% he got in his head.
Yeah,
because like I mean, all the stuff after the last remaining Brazilian champion as well, Dos Anjos, he got in his head too. You just don't talk to him after the like after his loss. That was the stupidest thing in the world to do after he fought, because you both didn't show up two times to fight him, and then the one time that one of you did, you got knocked down 12 seconds.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that was really weird is everyone was like, oh, yeah, Stipe's punch looked just like Connor's against Jose Aldo. And it was like, no, one was a running away punch, more like Chuck Liddell style in Stipe's, and one was a counter punch in Connor's. Like, and I didn't call anyone else out on Twitter, and I'm guessing whoever, there was one or two people that were like, yeah, just like Connor. It wasn't. I just let it be. But it definitely, one was a counter and one was a running backward, like, I guess one it's still technically a counter, but it was actually.
Nah, you're right. It was more reminiscent of Chuck Liddell than anybody.
Very much so.
Where you're going backwards and generating power and you hit him right on the button. I was so jazzed because once that happened, I was like, I called it. I did not call it. I picked Verdum with hands. No, but I really am excited for Stipe.
Verdum's striking looked a lot better. I mean, the fact that... So my brother kept saying that Stipe was a Golden Gloves boxer. Do you know that's correct, right?
No idea.
And I don't know either. We probably should know that. If you'll Google search that real quick. But it's interesting to me that... I mean, Verdum still... His kicks looked really bad, which was odd to me. They looked really stiff. They looked really telegraphed. Not that it matters too much, but
I think that he's using them more as range, but he doesn't want to commit too much to him. You give him a leg, he's just going to take you down, and then he's already got the limb to start working it. So I would just assume, like, he probably looks more fluid against a different kind of fighter. Like, if you put him up against Ben Rothwell, he probably throws those kicks a lot different. Probably.
And that would make sense. I'm looking at it too as the kicks were a little odd, but he did hit Stipe and he did rock him. Well, maybe not rock him, but he definitely wobbled him.
Yeah, he got hands on him. He and, was a former Golden Glove participant, NCAA Division I wrestler.
And he did block a takedown attempt too. I mean, so Stipe did look good. And everyone that was like, nope, Stipe's going to be able to do this. He's, you know, he's got the wrestling. He'll be able to prevent the takedowns and he's going to have better striking. They had super solid understanding of Stipe's background. I looked at his two knockouts, or his two latest losses. One to Junior Dos Santos, who has looked good, but not as good as he could as of late. He looked really good in his last fight. And of course, Stefan Struve, who knocked him out. And so that's really what swayed my decision to think he might lose.
It's so funny to see like how crazy people get. They were saying that Verdum is the best heavyweight of all time, which he might be. He might be. But
I think he's one of the most well-rounded. I think he needs to work on his striking, but he's by far the best BJJ guy, which means he's got at least...
Not by far.
Who's...
Mir.
Yeah, I guess it...
Mir broke Nogueira's arm.
I guess Heyday versus Heyday, you're absolutely right.
But
I didn't even think of Mir.
And then Roy Nelson, too, but he never uses it.
except when he was on, season 8 of Tough, where all he did is take everyone down and put them in crucifixes and elbow their faces.
And but I would agree with that. He's one of the most well-rounded, and he has a great pedigree too. He's beaten Cain Velasquez, who's up there in the talks for the best all time. He beat Fedor Emelianenko, who's also up there. But like, right when people start saying that, it's like, especially in that division, you can't go on a run.
And as you know, one of the things I would like to discuss later on, once we get through this card, is actually somewhat of a brief history of the heavyweight title belt and how many times it's actually switched hands. I think there's maybe one person that's defended it twice, and then after that, they usually lose it. Tim Sylvia seems to be the one that's had it the
most. Randy Couture? Or did he keep losing it? Because he got it like five times, right?
We can look at it, but yeah, him and Tim Sylvia's named Alice. But I mean, some of those were Josh Barnett peeing for steroids, Tim Sylvia peeing for steroids when they were booted. Like, there's a lot more to it than that. But I mean, it's Mark Coleman was the first one. It's just really interesting. So when you get down to Tim Sylvia and like Randy Couture, they started to like switch it back and forth. So Randy Couture had it third, and then he was stripped when he had an issue with his contract. Bas Rutten got it over Kevin Randleman, then Rutten left.
And he dropped down to light heavyweight, retired soon after due to training injuries, and then Kevin Randleman defeated Pete Williams.
And then Randy Couture got it back when he came back to the UFC, and he beat Pedro Rizzo
twice.
And that's when he was still at Team Quest. Josh Barnett, and then he got it stripped because of the steroid use. I didn't know Rico Rodriguez beat Randy Couture, but obviously he did. Tim Sylvia got lost to Frank Mir. Andre Arlovski beat Tim Sylvia because that's when Mir was in the motorcycle accident, correct? Mm-hmm. Something like that. You look at this list. This is on Wikipedia. We're looking at it right now. So basically, Tim Sylvia and Randy Couture are the most dominant champions in heavyweight history. Brock Lesnar had how many? He beat Shane Carwin. He beat
Frank Mir.
But Shane Carwin was technically an interim champion during that time. And he beat... That was really it, right? And then he lost to Cain Velasquez. Cain Velasquez loses to Junior Dos Santos. Then beats Junior Dos Santos. So really, it looks like there's been, two title defenses. Cain Velasquez, he's got two, and Brock Lesnar had two. And that's it. So the heavyweight division, and I guess that's why people could say the heavyweight division is the most exciting, per se, because any of those top five could challenge any of the other top five and win on a punch. Just like Junior Dos Santos did, and then Cain Velasquez came back the next time and crushed him. Verdum looked really good against Cain Velasquez, and everyone was saying he was the best ever because of his armbar of Fedor and because he beat Cain Velasquez. But Stipe didn't necessarily make him look foolish until he rushed in, and Verdum actually said in the press conference he was reckless and he shouldn't have done it. And people...
He's such a lovable guy. That's the one thing I love about the heavyweight division. They're such lovable guys. Verdum's just happy-go-lucky. Junior's just happy-go-lucky. Yeah. Kane's nice, but he's not quite as, like, animated.
You want to know why? Because they're well-fed. Everyone else is cutting weight.
That's true.
So they're just angry.
Just angry all the time.
All the time. No, yeah, and you're right. They are super happy people. And it's because of those top five, it is very interesting. And because one punch can end somebody's night, it's very interesting. But anyone outside of that top, say, seven, you never know what's going to happen. And Verdum, oh, one of the other things that drove me nuts is people kept asking him if he was too focused on promoting and making his smile face and not focused enough on the fight.
Were you too focused on the smile face coming in?
Yeah, well, like, really? Like, when one person mentioned, and I think it was whoever was running Bloody Elbow last night, and they were like, the Twitter sphere is split between, like, he's like right down the middle. Those that like the Verdum face and those that hate the Verdum face. There's no middle ground. You either don't mind it or you can't stand it.
I'm in the middle ground.
Most people are like, yeah, the first 1,000 times it was funny, and now it's just kind of old.
No, just do your thing. I mean, I don't care. Like,
the fact that they made masks, it's a marketing ploy. He's smart. He made masks and he handed them out, and they tried to get stop them from getting into the arena. But it's a really genius idea. I mean,
they saw V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
And how badly that could, all of a sudden Stipe is fighting
blows up.
Thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know who's the actual champion.
He's punching everybody.
It's like, why is everyone so smiley?
Make that movie. Stipe punching.
Why don't we do
it?
All we
got to
do is take V for Vendetta, throw all of the Verdum masks on instead of the V for Vendetta masks, and then have Stipe B.
Just punch his way out of the building.
Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, I like Verdum. I think he seems like a really solid guy. He's a funny dude. And I think, I don't think he deserves another shot. I think Kane or Reem are definitely up for grabs. I don't want to see Verdum versus Alistair Overeem again because the last one was just so awful. But Verdum is a very different fighter than he was back at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you watch the undercard?
Not an ounce of it, no.
So I saw the first ones. All of them went three rounds.
I was at a weird
Brazilian
place
sweep.
I think you remember that. Yeah, it was a little bit of heat stroke. I felt like I was almost going to throw up. Thanks for nothing, soccer.
Whenever.
Actually, it's my fault
I'm
for not drinking
him.
Water. It's my fault.
Something inside.
Get it.
Sauce is burning.
Get it.
It's a heat wave. Something takes a hold of me. Something, the heat wave.
That's what it was.
Feeling me a heat wave. It was really warm yesterday. I had pants on, and everywhere I went, everyone had shorts on, and I was like, why am I wearing pants?
It wasn't that warm. It was that we didn't have any subs, and I had to play forward for an hour and a half just running all over the place.
I travel all over the place. It's another Chitty Bang reference right there, two in a row.
And then also, I didn't probably hydrate myself enough, and it was the first sun of the season.
I didn't know it was the solstice. First sun of the season. So let's talk. So the undercard was actually pretty good. Yancy Medeiros, Trinaldo. A lot of people are saying that could possibly, and that might have been on the FS1 prelims. I'm not sure. A lot of people are saying that could have been fight of the year. It looked a little sloppy to me, but it was a really fun, entertaining fight. Trinaldo actually, there was several hits back and forth. There's one time so it was very controversial because the judges gave all three rounds to Trinaldo. Yancy Medeiros definitely won the second round, and most people actually agree with that, but it was a clean sweep, supposedly. The third round, however, they were both in it about halfway through, and then Trinaldo just started landing bombs. It kind of reminded me of Bigfoot Silva when Bream just kind of stood against the fence and took punches and then kind of smiled at first until he just dropped. And then Medeiros went full Chris Lieben and looked like a zombie in the middle of the cage that was just getting hit and kind of like wobbling and moving around. But he stayed up the entire time. It's one of those where it's like the first thing that I thought about was everyone says MMA's less dangerous because you're less prone to concussion. And if you get a concussion, then it's probably because you've been knocked down and they're going to call the fight. And then there were two fights last night. The Trinaldo Medeiros fight, and then there was one more. I think it was the Chagas fight, I believe. I could be wrong. where the one fighter was actually completely rocked. And then even Anderson got knocked down twice.
Corey Anderson, too.
Yeah. So there was three fights last night.
That's what you just said. I was thinking Anderson Silva, and he definitely didn't have a concussion.
Yeah, because he had a gallbladder issue. Yeah. It's gone now. He's never going to have that issue anymore. Hopefully, he can find some Vietnamese pills that'll help him with that.
Hey-yo.
Call me Anderson Silva. So anyway, there was three times when there was people that were clipped pretty bad, and they didn't call the fight.
Corey Anderson was clipped twice.
Mm-hmm. Yancy Medeiros was, and then there was one more fight, and I believe it was the Chagas fight, and they didn't call him, and they looked for a little bit like zombies, and it's like those guys have to be almost not flash KO'd, but at least like where it wasn't. No, Pat, it was Lil Nog Cummins.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, okay, he's out on his feet. That's what it was. So sorry, just to reiterate one more time. Yancy Medeiros, Trinaldo, Little Nog, Patrick Cummins, and Hua Anderson. All three of those fights, there was one person that got clipped over and over and over again. Wasn't intelligently defending themselves because they didn't fall. They didn't call it. Patrick did, but he took a beating before, and the other ones got to decision. And it's like those guys, I mean, if you're going to argue that MMA is safer than boxing, those are the kind of fights that tell you that it's not. It's almost the exact same thing. Because those guys could have got knocked down, had a stand, or even a standing eight, and then gone right back and
forth. Well, I understand what you're saying. But they're talking in the global, it's not as dangerous as boxing.
Global gym?
There's one objective in boxing. There's multiple objectives that you can go for in MMA.
And that's solid.
You want to punch, I mean, yes, you do punch the body, so I guess you could say there's two objectives. But the main goal is to soften up the head. Or knock them out, or win by decision by hitting them in the head more. Yeah. Where MMA, it's get them down, control on the ground. You can get them by submission. You can leg kick them to the stomach and actually finish them in one shot, which I've never really seen happen in boxing. I'm sure it has. I'm sure somebody's gotten a liver punch and they're just done. But, I mean, you're a lot more susceptible in MMA. So I understand what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
that it is as dangerous in certain circumstances. But
thank you for making me feel safe and validated.
You're welcome.
Like, I feel like this is a safe space.
You're welcome. You are welcome on that. But yeah. I would say in the global scheme of things on MMA, in the aggregate, it's more safe.
So going back to the Lil Nog fight, did you see that one?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you watch it after the main card when they replayed it?
Yep.
What'd you think about how Lil Nog looked?
I thought Big Nog looked good. You see his suit?
Except
his Hall of Fame nomination. Yeah. Good on him.
You wanted to hear something super funny?
I do.
So, on the last podcast, we talked about Lil Nog, and I was like, all right, Lil Nog's fighting because Big Nog's retired. And then all of a sudden, they said his name out loud and they showed his face, and I was like, oh shit. I spent an entire podcast talking about the wrong Nogueira brother. Apparently, he's not retired. And then they were like, Lil Nog. And I was like, thank goodness I was talking about the correct Nogueira brother. Okay. And so for about...
We're as bad as Team Stream over here.
Yeah, about a 10-minute section of my life, I was like, did I spend almost 15 minutes of a podcast talking about the wrong Nogueira brother?
So we were in different places, because when Stipe won, I immediately went to the podcast to see if I was right about it, and I was pretty sure that I was. I was like, I picked Stipe, and I didn't. And then you were like, oh, no. I was talking about the wrong Nogueira brother for about 10 minutes, and you didn't.
I think I was only wrong about two of these fights. I missed the Barbarena fight. I was incorrect about. And I was incorrect about the Stipe fight.
So pretty much the only ones that a non-Brazilian won. And then you have the suit. You pick Souza over Belfort.
And then I picked Souza over Belfort. And even... In the undercard. I missed the very first fight on the main card I lost to.
That's not bad.
That's really good.
It's awful if you're trying to parlay those. You'll just lose.
I wouldn't have parlayed the first fight.
You should never parlay MMA.
And I would never parlay a main heavyweight fight.
You should never parlay MMA. That's just a rule.
I watched you do win $150 on €150 on an 8 euro parlay.
Don't.
And he picked almost the exact same fights I would have last time.
Don't ever pick parlays.
I probably would never parlay. No. But the more I do this, the more I want
to
bet.
It's more intelligent to bet on a Holly Holm or a Nate Diaz one off, and then instead of picking, you know, Travis Brown and three other favored people to only get like 1.81 payback on your $1 bet that you made. Okay, it wasn't $1, it was $100, but that's essentially what the conversion would have been.
So you would have made Travis Brown $80?
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, that's rough.
Never parlay. Just go with the under. If you're going to really, if you want to take the right gamble, find like the most lopsided one and bet on that.
Unless especially it's if the person's fighting. Or if the person's fighting outside of their weight class. Or if the guy's a jiu-jitsu guy against a boxer. Like last night's betting on Stipe would have been a smart idea.
Do you think, and maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves and you can pull the reins back if you want, but do you think Cyborg is going to make a shot at the 135?
She said she's been training the last year to get down to where she's at now.
Where's she at? I thought she was 145.
She's 140. She says, so what she said was...
That was a catchweight 140. Right?
There's two things that she said that really interested me. Three. One, she didn't mention Ronda Rousey very much, but then she said she'd been training judo the last year. So those like kind of went in contrast of each other or against each other, I guess. Opposition, that's the best word. So she's like, I don't really want to talk about Ronda Rousey right now. It's not, you know, I just want to be here.
Which is smart because it's not relevant.
Yeah. And then she was like, oh, yeah, no, I've been training judo for the last year. And then she said she wants to go back. She's happy in Invicta. She wants to continue to defend her belt and take catchweight fights probably in the UFC for right now.
Which is actually really smart. Like, that's pretty much the same Conor game plan, too. The only problem is she's not going to get a lot of fights that way. They're either going to have to sign fighters on one-offs because people already didn't want to fight her.
Or make it worth her money.
Yeah, like it's got to be a lot of money. But I mean...
Not for her, but for the fighter that's... I mean, I wonder how much Leslie Smith made for this fight.
I don't know. I felt bad for her. Like
She said that they called it too soon. I don't think so either. Like, good for her for stepping in, but I don't think that fight was called too soon.
Chris looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she
looked good. But she has. Her last like five fights, she just looked super dominant. That's why everyone wants to see her drop weight. Like, as dumb as this sounds, you could do cardio and continue to train UFC, continue to train MMA, and you could lose 5 pounds of muscle. Not that you necessarily want to, but all of that muscle is not necessary in MMA. It's not.
We've talked a lot about safety, and if she doesn't think that she can get down, she can't get down.
Oh, speaking of safety... Did you read into the 8% rule, 8% body fat rule? Did you actually read into any of the articles that were popped up? I didn't, so I'm hoping that you did.
I didn't read into them in depth as it work, but
I don't like to get it. So the fighters have to be at within 8% of their weight, right?
Their target weight on Monday.
On Monday, which yeah, and so if they're not, then they will get nutritionists from the UFC, I believe, that will actually help them to do it healthy, and. I'm guessing if they're way over, then they're going to have some kind of big issue. And what I'd like to see, there's actually two articles I think that were written on this that I didn't read either of them, and I will before our next podcast. One stating why it was a good idea, and one stating why it was a bad idea and it was unhealthy for fighters.
How was that?
I don't know. I'd like to read the article first.
Yeah, I got to find that because it's not the most healthy option. Still, you don't want ideally you don't really want people cutting like that, anyways, but. That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. 8%. I mean, 8% of your... So, I mean, that's actually pretty close. So, if you figure you're trying to cut down to 150 pounds, you have to be within 15 pounds the week of. Which stops people from... I mean, that's 10%. So, you'd actually drop that down to 12 pounds, whatever it would be. I did the easy math of 10% of 150. But there's not 150 anyway. 155.
Just think of the 205 is essentially 16.2 pounds.
Yeah.
So goes down just a little bit from there.
And I think most people the day before to 2 days before usually have about 10 pounds to drop. I think that's pretty normal to drop 7 to 10 pounds 24 hours before the fight.
Which again, I think is intelligent because they're not making it too crazy for the fighters, but it is a step in the right direction.
I'm
not
going to
be getting Anthony Johnsons that are like, where are you at, buddy? 25 pounds over, huh?
Yeah. You know, I want to know who kind of disappointed me, and only because I didn't watch the whole fight and only saw parts of it. John Lineker.
didn't see any of it.
He should have finished. It went to decision. And he won. And he won decisively. However, I think he should have finished the fight. And he's at 135 now. And everyone's saying he should fight John Dodson next. And whoever wins should get a title shot. I say you give John Dodson a title shot. And then give John Lineker a title shot. It's as easy as that. You have your next three fights. I mean, that puts someone on the shelf for a while. Especially because Dominic Cruz is always going to go to decision. So a decision with Uriah Faber. So anyway, but I would like to see that. Let's get into Damian Maia then. You didn't see that fight, did you?
I didn't, no.
I saw the beginning of that fight when the first takedown was scored, and I saw the end of the fight when the choke was actually placed. We'll give you an example if you didn't see it, which you probably did. Damian Maia has absorbed 12 significant strikes in his last three fights. His last three fights were against Gunnar Nelson, who's, I mean, just crushed Tumanov. Matt Brown, who was in a number one contender fight with Johnny Hendricks. And I can't remember who he fought before that, but he basically rode him like a backpack. And so the question is, do you think Damian Maia gets a title fight? Obviously deserving of a title fight. We talk about this almost every week, but do you think he gets one?
Yeah. He might still be one more fight out, but if he puts another fight, like, how do you deny him?
Stephen Thompson, Roy McDonald.
Roy McDonald's out of contract.
Yeah.
Thompson's going to lose.
That would really screw things up if Thompson loses.
Which would be great for Rory, though.
No, because they'd have to pay him a lot of money to come back. And if they really wanted to be jerks, they'd put Rory, they'd give him his first fight back, and then they would make him fight Damian Maia.
Put Maia Condit.
No, because I like Condit, and I don't want to see him lose in that manner.
In what manner?
I don't want to see him get BJJ'd for three rounds or five rounds.
Are you sure that he's going to?
I think Damian Maia's jiu-jitsu is above and beyond anyone's in that division.
Yeah, you're right, but I mean,
I think he fights Robbie Lawler. He submits him, and he gets two or three more fights that are just BJJ clinics. Stephen Thompson, unless Stephen Thompson can kick him in the head before he gets in, his BJJ is not going to be good enough to stop him. Roy McDonald. His wrestling might be good enough to get down or to get out, but I mean, what's his face is not a bad wrestler. Matt Brown is not a bad wrestler. So
Condit's just as good as a wrestler as both of those guys.
And his jiu-jitsu might be better, but it's not. I mean,
his
it's not as good.
Is better than both of those guys. It's more dynamic, I should say. It may not be as effective, but it's more dynamic.
Damian Maia is a scary, boring fight for anyone in that division.
Why is it boring?
Because he usually just is on their back for three rounds.
What he's good at, and like it's better than two counter punchers going up against each other and not throwing punches. He's at least trying to advance position.
I guess that's solid. I mean, Lyoto Machida's had plenty of boring fights, and he used to be super exciting for a time. And Damian Maia is not going to get caught by freaking Nate Marquardt anymore. Speaking of which, Nate Marquardt. Anyway, sorry, keep going. And then I've also got. Why I think this is a retirement card, because there's at least four fighters on this card that should retire.
I think that's it. That's all I was going to say is I just don't understand why everybody with tap out shirts just sees fit to do some the only guy that wants to tap somebody out.
The irony is thick. I can agree with you.
They want.
I never thought about that. That's actually really, really funny.
No, it was probably because they want tap out from punches. That's probably what it is.
Did you come up with that yourself?
What?
Did you read that somewhere else?
What? Which part?
Did all the people wearing their tap out shirts?
No, we talked about that during fights. I mean, I've said it before. Like, I mean, I haven't. I don't know.
I must have ignored you.
It was good.
That's actually super solid. The irony is thick on that one. Everyone with their tap out shirts that wants nothing but strikes to be thrown,
and they go to the ground. Boo! That's a nice tap-out shirt you have on there. Yeah. You big striking fan?
That's awesome.
You watching the Eddie Bravo Invitational? No, you won't because they don't punch. No, it's no.
Will you be watching Bellator? No. WSOF? No. Tachi Fights? No. Nothing?
Nothing.
Bama? No. Nothing? None of the rest of them? All right, then.
Oh, you watched Ambach. Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, you train UFC. That makes sense.
No, that's the thing. Is like I guess if you like striking, go watch kickboxing. I just don't understand why people think that Maya's boring. You may say I don't like his style, it doesn't appeal to me. But I mean, just outright boring to the right eye, he's the most interesting. Again, you said how many significant strikes?
12.
How is that not interesting? How is he stopped? Especially Matt Brown too, who's a great striker. How has he stopped that many people from punching him in the face?
Yeah.
Like, it's
Gunnar Nelson.
Like, that's impressive. That's maybe the most impressive stat line I've heard in MMA ever.
Yeah, super impressive. So let's talk retirements. Start from the bottom here. Lil Nog needs to retire. And obviously these guys could all beat me up, and I don't want to be the dude telling people what to do with their careers. However, I'm going to give you my opinion because that's what I do. Lil Nog needs to retire. Hua needs to retire. Nate Marquardt needs to retire. Vitor Belfort needs to retire. Those four need to be done.
They need to throw Anderson Silva in there too if Belfort needs to be done.
I think Anderson Silva gets one more fight. And if he looks as bad as he did the last couple fights that he's had, he just needs to be done too.
He didn't look bad the last fight.
No, he hasn't looked bad, but he's not top five competition. So instead of just making him a Hua, where you put him against Jimmy Minowa and he wins, and then you put him against somebody in the top five and he loses, just have him stop doing that. Just give him a bunch of money and tell him not to fight anymore.
Well, the problem with that is they would still like very much for him to make them a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you can see how it wouldn't really behoove them to just stop getting money from him and then just give him a bunch of money.
No, I was more joking about giving him money to retire. But when was the last time you were like, oh, I really want to see Hua fight? Oh, he's on this card? It's always
that's
a good
fight.
That's
the fight I tuned in for. I love Hua.
I'm not
in a five-rounder, but I love Hua.
I like him as a person.
I don't know.
I love him as a fighter. I mean, he goes back to Pride. That's what I'm saying. If you fought in Pride, you should probably be done. Alistair Overeem, just be done. Hua, Belfort,
Overeem, you just said
Anderson.
Should challenge for the title.
Who?
Overeem.
Wolverine. Wolverine should challenge for the title?
You said Overeem should challenge for the title.
Yeah, but
so
now I'm saying
retire because
what I'm,
he once fought in Pride?
Sweeping declaration, Carson. I'm saying anyone that fought in Pride should just be done.
That's ass.
And that's the thing. If I say that, I have to put my money where my mouth is and say that Overeem, even though he deserves a title shot at this moment, should also just retire. And for the sake...
Barnett, too?
Barnett should be done. And you know that. Rothwell? Did Rothwell fight in Pride? He should be done, too.
Well, we can agree on that.
Who else fought in Pride?
No, like, why? Belfort's 37 years old.
He looked beaten. And Seuss is that good.
He was beaten.
He looked...
he was...
he looked... But I mean, like, he looked like he was... Like, he had given up. Like, his heart was crushed.
It wasn't his heart. It was his gonads.
And then the post... Right?
They had to start producing their own testosterone recently. He took a toll on his body. You just give him a little bit of time to adjust... He'll be fine, man.
We can't just restart production. We fired all the employees.
Exactly. He's fine. Like, he's good to fight. Like, it's too much sensationalism. Like, he has one bad performance. Nobody was saying that after the last fight.
Well, I stick to you what you said last time, that no matter win, lose, or draw, him and Anderson Silva should fight again.
Let's do it.
Whoever loses retires.
Actually, I think you said that, and I just agreed with it. I was really into it.
You did that.
No, you pitched it to me. You said, who should he fight then? I just listened to it on the way over here. You said, who should he fight then? And you're like, you followed it up with, should it be Anderson? And I said, I like that. Regardless of what happens, win, lose, or draw, they should fight each other. And then...
And then we digressed and then came back, and then we stuck with it.
Yeah, you're the guy. You're the matchmaker on that one.
Hey, I like Joe Silva, give me a call.
I like you more last week when you weren't telling people to retire just because...
You know who else should retire? Stipe. His career's over. Just retire. It's
Everybody
done.
Should retire.
You've done what Drew Carey wanted, and you've made Cleveland rock again. Now retire.
Oh, man, they could have. It was Cleveland versus Brazil. We were.
Not even U.S. Just Cleveland. It sounds like Texas now.
Ohio is for lovers and fighters, apparently.
Texas to Brazil.
I don't know. I just know Matt Brown either fights out of Cleveland or is from Cleveland.
No. He is, where is he out of? Because I used to actually work there, Kansas City.
Because it said that, and with SureDog, it said that something Cleveland. Let's scander.
It's Kansas City.
He is from Jamestown.
Oh, he's from Ohio. Hmm? Okay, but I think he lives in Kansas City now.
Yeah, you're probably right. I was just saying, yeah, it doesn't say, but I was just going to say, it just said on SureDog that he was.
That makes sense.
But, yeah, if he would have beat Maya, it would have been Ohio beating up Brazil instead of just, you know, everybody beating up Brazil.
Hey, Brazil did pretty well. Barbarena, man. Good for him.
Good job, Barbarena.
I thought he was going to get set up, and that's one of the fights that...
I also give...
I've actually been a huge dick about him, and I need to stop. Because I'm like, oh yeah, no, they set him up to lose twice, and he's won both times, so good for him.
I'm also advocating for Jacare to get a U.S. citizenship. I actually grant it to him, so now we can just claim him as another win.
You are... I think you'd be more of the Brazilian-Asian descent, like Lyoto Machida.
No, he's... U.S. He's us. From the dirty south.
He's from the dirty. Straight out of Hotlanta, Sousa. That's where why he's a crocodile.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. He's a bayou. Born on the bayou. Born on
a... This is a singing episode.
Yes.
We were just on par singing today.
Okay, so let's talk more about this card. We haven't talked about something.
Sousa.
Yeah. What do you want to do with him?
We're going to disagree on this, but I think Bisbing should get the next title shot. And you're going to say Sousa should get the next title shot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if either of them should. I don't think Bisping should.
I think Bisping should because he's always been a bridesmaid and never a bride. And Sousa, both of them have already lost to Rockhold, and that's the most difficult part. Sousa lost to Rockhold, and Bisping lost to Rockhold. If it's Weidman that wins, they might try and set up a third, which I don't understand, and they might... And they might just have Sousa and Bisping fight, and that might make the most amount of sense.
Let's just settle this the old-fashioned way. Just make Bisping fight Jacare.
Dan Henderson.
One of the best highlights ever.
And I would be okay with that fight, but I don't think Bisping wins. I want to see Bisping.
That's why I want that fight.
I
want
to see Bisping get a title shot just because I've been a Bisping fan my entire life. And even if he loses, at least he fought for a title.
You were
once.
Even a Bisping fan during Tough?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You were the first one that told me he was a jerk.
And then I watched him on Tough and I started to like him.
No, that's the one you told me he was a jerk. That was leading up to UFC 200, right?
I like Bisping. And I wanted him to be Dan Henderson. Actually, I didn't want him to be Dan Henderson because Dan Henderson's the all-American made, like... Hulk Hogan of the UFC, but like an actual legitimate true American hero.
And maybe the best fighter ever. Like him and BJ Penn, just weight classes, it weren't really a thing. They didn't scream about it as loud as Conor did, but they were pretty much forever.
Well, because they had what, middleweight, light heavyweight, and heavyweight. Those were the only three divisions back then.
No. Not, well, for him, yeah. But I mean, like when BJ...
And
BJ Penn did fight all the way from, I think, 145.
He fought Lyoto Machida at...
Heavyweight. Yeah. We talked about this last week, too, because I had just learned about it, because I was like, jeez, man. Like, he... Those guys were true warriors, 100%. They all are.
But that's
let's be clear. They all are warriors.
That's when if you had any technique... You could usually do pretty well because everyone else was so bad or so pigeonholed into their own technique. So like,
I don't know, man. I weigh 170, and even to think put on 30 pounds and still go up against somebody that weighs 100.
I'd kick your ass at 200.
You are. Where are you at right now?
Probably about 210.
Let's do it. You're going to see a heavyweight fight. Yeah.
And I can guarantee you Carson would win as he's trained more. Unless I could just lay on you, which might actually be what I did. So Jacare obviously deserves a title shot. However, Yoel Romero, and I couldn't tell you exactly when his suspension is up, probably very soon, I think July. I'd like to see him get the next title shot, Yoel Romero. He hasn't lost to either Weidman or Belfort. He beat Sousa, and I'm sure he would beat Bisping.
Mm-hmm.
So he deserves it, but that's July. UFC 200's in July, so 199 will be over. There's no way they can get from 199 to 200. Verdum, sorry to digress. Actually, let me finish my thought, and then we'll get to Verdum. So I think whoever wins out of Rockhold and Weidman, and I think Rockhold's going to win again. A lot of people don't think that's going to happen for whatever reason. There are also Conor fans. So it's one of those things. Sean is like, Weidman, man, he's going to do it this time. And it's like nothing's changed.
We should... So this should be the citizenship changing episode. So what needs to happen is he, being Rockhold, needs to get Brazilian citizenship.
Oh, so you want him to lose?
Weidman wins. No, to make that right, Weidman would win. No, I think Rockhold. I don't really want either of them. I don't have like strong feelings about either of them. I'd probably lean more towards Rockhold as far as like likability, but I don't think I could really hang out with either of them.
Rockhold seems kind of full of himself. You know who I could hang out with? Gay Jesus.
Huh? What's that?
You don't remember Yoel Romero's comment when they legalized gay marriage in the United States? And I think he either tweeted out or he said out loud, "Come on, United States, you can't support gay Jesus," or something like that. And what he was trying to say is Jesus doesn't support the gays. And he said gay Jesus, and it ended up being very controversial. And he was like, "I never said that. That's not what I meant. That's not what I was trying to say.
That was Pacquiao. Pacquiao hacked my account.
My language wasn't
Pacquiao correct. Hacked my account and Tunsil's account.
That's Yoel, comma, gay Jesus." I really hope this gets really terrible. Oh, here we go. We'll watch it after. But he says, "No, what you said isn't. You forget the best of the world, the name of Jesus Christ." Anyway, this is actually plugged in, so we could probably play it directly onto the show, but we won't do that because we don't know how well it will actually work as of right this moment.
Just splice it in.
Well, all we got to do, I guess all we'd have to do is hit play, and if it records, then it records. Let's try it.
Hit play and shut up.
I want to say something. Maybe I'm trying English. See, so sorry, so I know the people don't understand me, but I'm trying. Hey! Hey, USC! Hey, Miami! Hey, Florida! Listen, people, listen, listen, listen. What happened to you, USA? What happened to you? What's going on, you? Forget. For the best and the best of the world, the name is Jesus Christ. What happened to you? Wake up, USA. Go. Go back for you. Go. Go for Jesus. Not for gay Jesus, people. I want to see.
Okay. We couldn't hear that, but we'll listen to it right after this. So what people think he said was, "Come on, America. Something, something. Support gay Jesus.
And I thought he was saying he was going to be gay for Jesus, which would have been really inappropriate, sir.
Clarifies controversial. So not only was he controversial there, however, he also pinged hot. He actually did ping hot, so he... But, yes, I've been promised a shot, Romero said. No, forget Jesus. Feels like it's not the only United States the world has forgotten about God, about Jesus. Anyway, we'll listen to it later. So, nonetheless, we've got that. So, Verdum actually mentioned he would like to fight at potentially UFC 200.
That's not going to happen.
He's been given a 30-day layoff by the Athletic Commission, and he said he wants to fight as quickly as possible.
That's not going to happen.
What do you think happened? Give him the rematch against Cain Velasquez. Make them fight each other again. Give Stipe Ream, and whoever wins out of those two gets a title shot.
Cain has a fight.
Exactly.
Which will be really close to 200. That's not happening.
Not at 200. He won't go from... Well, it's at 200. So unless... What's really going to happen is Cain Velasquez is going to hurt his knee, and Verdum's going to have to step in against Travis Brown, which I'm all right with.
That's fine.
Yeah. I'm perfectly okay with that, too. All right, so we got Souza with the title shot, Stipe versus Reem, or Stipe versus Cain. Which would you rather see?
Stipe versus Overeem.
How do you think that ends?
Overeem wins.
The Reem.
Well, unless he takes him down, but I don't think that he does.
K1 against a boxer? I give it to K1.
That's what I'm saying. So I actually don't want that fight to happen now because I don't want Overeem to ever get the title.
He would be one of the most decorated fighters in history of that if he won. He'd be one of the most decorated fighters ever. K1 champion, Pride champion,
Grand Prix,
Strikeforce champion. I mean, all he really needs is a UFC belt.
And then we can start reading the articles how he's the best heavyweight of all time.
And then he'll lose the next fight. It's one of those things. I would like to see him fight because I would like to see all of those top five people fight each other. I think that's interesting. It's something that I'm very much interested in seeing. And so one thing I'd like to get into real quick. Well, first off, is there anything else that you'd like to mention on that? On any of that, really?
Nope. I think we're good. Other than, I mean, middleweight's really crazy with Belfort losing. Mm-hmm. I think you've got to give it to Souza.
Yeah.
But I would be totally fine with a Bisping-Souza fight.
I'm fine with any of those four. Whoever wins, throw Bisping, Souza, Yoel, all of those five right there, just throw them in against each other.
What do you do with Uriah Hall?
Uriah, I don't know.
What about Bisping? How would you feel about that instead of making those Jacare? And then if he beats Uriah Hall, then he gets his title shot.
I'd rather see Uriah Hall fight like a Derek Brunson or even a Hector Lombard.
I want Bisping.
You know exactly why we want Bisping. Bisping, he loves getting knocked out by head kicks. And Uriah Hall loves knocking people out with head kicks. So real quick.
He's impartial to it. He'll do it if he should so be moved.
So this weekend, no UFC cards, but we actually have two different. We have a Tachi Palace fight card. I don't know if that's going to be on. It won't be on UFC Fight Pass. But nonetheless. That is there, and then Bellator will actually have a card again next weekend in Boise, Idaho, with Melvin Manoff and Rafael Carvalho, I believe
his last name is.
We should. We could drive up there, and you can get tickets for like $35 because that's how Bellator rolls. Rafael's 12-1.
It's like 5 hours.
We also see Pat Kieran.
You're not going
Kieran.
With your new dog.
Oh, yeah. Sure dog. New dog. So there are two fights that I'd actually be interested in watching. So if anyone says on Twitter, oh, no fights this weekend, just make sure you say no UFC this weekend because that's really what you mean because there's plenty of fights this weekend.
Plenty of fights.
Yep. Last but not least, Will Brooks has been released by Bellator. Will Brooks is the current champion, well, was the current champion until he was released. So that means the Michael Chandler fight versus whoever stepped in versus Josh Thompson will actually be for the vacant belt. Will Brooks is a solid fighter. He's also been the one tweeting out about having to get a job at Target to pay the bills.
Oof.
Yes. And so I'm guessing because he's so vocal, he may not get picked up by the UFC. He might actually end up having to go over to WSOF first. However, he would fit in with the UFC, and I'd really like to actually see him fight. What are you looking at? Tiago Santos. Speaking of which, Carson on his screen right now has the 198 card. Tiago Santos looked dominant against Neymar Quart.
Hey, we had a draw, yes. No. Moraes versus Chagas.
Oh, then I was wrong on that one. It was a draw?
You can't be right on that. Nobody picks a draw.
No.
Yeah, you were wrong, but... Yeah, it was ruled a draw.
But that's...
There was something else I wanted to talk about, though, and I can't think of what it was. That's why I was on that page. I was listening to
it. Yes, no, you're good. You got 7 minutes. It's just, King Mo, Phil Davis. I didn't watch that either. I missed it going to get my dog. Apparently, it was pretty controversial. A lot of people said that King Mo had won, and it was taken from him. So,
damn it.
If you listen to this, let us know. If you watched it, let us know what you think about what had happened and who you think won that fight. I thought Phil Davis was going to win, so technically I'm all right. But neither of them looked dominant in their last title shot. So I still think that Liam McGreary is going to stay the champion.
I'm just going to always just waive my right to pick fights going forward. I am always wrong. I can't remember if I said King Mo or not, but I'm just going to assume I said Phil Davis. I'm always wrong.
No, you said King Mo.
Yeah, killed it. And I was robbed.
Because I took Phil Davis and you took King Mo because you said that their wrestling would cancel out and they'd have to strike and King Mo was a better striker.
That's what I said and I was right and then it got screwed. And we watched
as
it,
always,
and we know.
And Werdum was going to win by submission, but he fell into a punch. He shouldn't be headbutting fists.
That's a bad move.
It's a bad move.
It's a bad move in UFC.
Good on Werdum, though. Just to go back real quick before we finish up, good on him for having a killer instinct. Yeah, it cost him the fight and the belt and probably millions, but at least he, like, tried to finish.
Usually in the heavyweight division, it's the one that's, it's, there's not a lot of recovery from those punches, so it's usually the one that strikes first. Like, that and more than any other division, it's probably the best to actually have a killer instinct. Because usually the one that gets the upper hand is going to finish it. It's pretty rare that they don't.
Did you think that we would...
Pat Barry's the last one that I can think of where when he beat Chet Congo when he was out.
Yeah. Do you think that we would use this entire podcast to just talk about 198? I mean, that shows you how relevant most of those fights were on this card. That we actually spent more or less an hour on this.
Not really. I think there were a lot of big names. I don't really think it was that relevant. Let's talk about it. What does it do for Hua?
Werdum.
What does it do for Hua?
Nothing. Hopefully he retires. He fought so Pride.
What's it do for Cyborg?
It gives gets her into the UFC.
She's not going to go down to 135. Jacare was ranked number 2 mm-hmm. going into this weekend. He beat
Vitor. It solidifies him getting the title shot.
But he already had it.
John Lineker looked good, and that puts him into title contention at 135.
Stipe and Werdum is the most significant, obviously, because the belt was on the line and switched hands.
Well, and there's so many. The two things that are important are Suso winning, because there's so many things that can happen in that division, and Stipe winning, because there's so many things that can happen in that division.
I agree, but I don't think that necessarily means that this was super relevant.
It was relevant enough to talk to about for an hour about.
They're big names. Like, we could talk about even just Silva not fighting for an hour.
All right.
What?
We're just rehashing this out and arguing for no reason at the end of our podcast.
Yeah, because I love arguing.
We should do it more at the beginning of our podcast.
All right, go back to the beginning.
We're starting over. All right, everybody. We're going to go listen to the 45-second Gay Jesus interview with Yoel Romero. You've already got it. Hopefully it didn't peak all of your headphones. We apologize if it yelled. We probably will end up cutting it out. And if we do end up cutting it out, go listen to it.
We can just put it back in and just turn it down.
That's true. We could do that too. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember to subscribe on Twitter, OneSpeed MMA. We love having conversations during the fights, the ones that we actually watch on Twitter. It's always a great time. We always throw out questions and different things like that. And this one should be on YouTube as well. We didn't put the last two on YouTube due to a lot of different weird things going on, but this one should make it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. See you next week.
Peace.
Bye.